So education and intervention certainly is an area that the HOOPA Council needs to step up to. We have many of our children who are drug affected, who many don't have parents or advocates to advocate for IEPs, and they're getting lost in the system. We know for years many of our children have been pushed through the system, and they end up in the community without a plan for their lives, and so they become a statistic. So it's important to look at the children that are existing in our community, such as the River's Edge School, where they just keep getting pushed and pushed. It's growing all the time, but there aren't enough people there to facilitate the emotional and mental issues that those children have who are drug affected. I know because I have grandchildren that are there, and I know that it's not working the way it should be, because they need more more help, more counselors. And the other thing I'd like to remind us of is that I worked really hard for 7 or 8 years on the broadband plan, and we were so close to getting 40 megabits of internet services here that just went away when I left. And so it's totally possible to reconnect with those resources in the area that are currently working with federal and state grants with other tribes to get back on board, so that we can make sure that we are part of that plan and that we possibly could have our own internet services, which was something we were working towards. And just as a reminder, there's a natural building event going on our community on Moon Lane with Les and Tim Hunt. This is alternative building, and it's an incredible way to build a home and do it for under $50,000, sometimes less. There's an earth bank home that's being constructed, or has been constructed, at Moore Creek with Richard and Monique Myers. It's completely up, and it just is needing a roof. So there's also straw bale building, of which I hope to have workshops in the near future. But these are incredible ways to build your own home. It could be family and community assisted, and it's a great way to live. It's very close to how we lived as Indigenous people. All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nora.
Lauren Norton, tribal member, also a manager of a tribal department. Two issues that the community has addressed to me quite often. One is the airport and the management and the development of the airport. With the reduction in last year's budgets, the roads department doesn't have the capability to manage the airport and do the improvements. As Mike told you, most of the federal funding that we received are earmarked for the downtown improvement or the downtown enhancement. Secondly, I'm approached many, many times by community members, tribal members of the state, of our tribal roads and tribal driveways. And so I hope during the budget process that we'll be able to find some funding that we can address these issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Floyd Montgomery. I've been denied home assistance last several years, as proved once. I like to say that I'm a Vietnam vet. I served in Vietnam. I was awarded highest in this medal for non-combat heroism. I was wounded once. Over the years, I've been a working alcoholic in the valley and trying to help my people too. And I've been clean now for 15 years. And I've been in denial for that PTSD. I'm 100% PTSD. And I've been in denial of that fact. I'm trying to walk the red road clean and sober, falling off every now and then. So I've been in and out of rehab for many times. And over the years, I went to language class with Benji Billy. And I learned the language to pray in Hoopa language. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is John Robbins, Jr., and I'm a Hoopa tribal member. And I want to thank you guys for finally opening up a forum for your membership to come and speak to you. I think there's a few things that I've heard here this morning, but what you said that, you know, you guys will try to answer some of it this afternoon. One of the things I think that everyone needs to start remembering is that we have to work together and regardless of our differences. The past is the past. And I look forward to hopefully this council can make that turning point. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next year. I, myself, turned 50 years old this year. I've been in this government since I was 18 years old. I've watched the bads, the goods, the uglies, the horrifying incidents regarding our government. One of the things that I think that you guys need to assure the membership that you will include the entire membership. The people that are, you know, welcome the people that are here today, but this is not your full membership. This is the majority of your working class of our tribe. We don't see no downtown people sitting here. We don't see the welfare recipients sitting here. These are the people we need to focus on and help. And I don't expect the seven of you to do that. We have managers and directors and enterprises. We need to start making these people perform and be accountable. You've had some people come up here and talk about funding. We need to go after every bit of funding that we possibly can go and get. We are so lacking in that area. I currently serve as your guys' Housing Authority Board Chairman, and it's very frustrating that I'm watching the other housing enterprises within our neighboring tribes succeed way more than what we're able to do. So that's just an example. But the other portion of that issue is the financials. We need to look at ourselves financially. Every year, pretty much every issue that was raised in here so far always flows back to the budget and the financials. And one thing that I would like to stress on you guys is the elder abuse and the lack towards our youth, our future. Some of you have been here and know that I will take that budget and analyze it and split it up and identify it. It is pretty frustrating when you take those budgets that I have reviewed and at no time have you ever increased the monies towards youth or the youth center or activities for the community or the elders. You go back and look at those, they've never increased. They've all stayed the same. But the message that needs to be given to all of our people is that we all have to come together. Families are not what they used to be when I was back in the day. Drugs have taken over our community, our families, our people. And it's going to take all of us to be able to help those ones and find their way back. I've heard it before, to where we're a tribe that don't throw people to the side, don't disown them, don't, because they've done bad. Well then let's move forward. Let's put some of our policies into place. It was raised earlier in regards to the ordinances.
We have so many ordinances. I will guarantee you that not everybody here knows that there's 68 ordinances. But those ordinances are enforced on your people. What about the people that aren't a part of the tribe? So with my point is that it's not going to take just you guys. It's just not going to take them. It's going to take our tribe coming together as one and putting our differences aside to work for our people and make this place what we can be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Presley Orca. I'm 9 years old. My family walks to the creek since... My name is Presley Orca. I'm 9 years old. My family walks to the creek and checks on the fish. This winter, I saw it to check on testing. I was loaded with migrating salmon last week. I went there again, and the creek was choked out with moss, and there was no baby salmon swimming in there. Those salmon would feed our community when I was 14 to 15 years old. There was a plan to protect our creeks. How are you protecting our future?
I'm just going to reread it for you guys. She said, my name is Presley Orkett. I am 9 years old. My family walks to the creeks and check on the fish. This winter, we saw Tish Tang loaded with migrating salmon. Last week, I went there again. This creek was choked out with moss. There's no baby salmon swimming in there. Those salmon would have fed our community when I was 14 to 15 years old. What's the plan to protect the creeks? How are you protecting our future? And I would also like to say that my name is Christian De Joseph. I'm the chairman of the Youth Council. And I also am a student at Hoopa Valley High. And there's been talk about how the construction of our gym, we haven't been able to use it through half of this year. And the talk about it was that during basketball and volleyball seasons, we won't even be able to use the gym to where our home games will be at McKinleyville High. And so that's kind of an issue that we're thinking, because then they would talk about totally just passing sports this year. And every day we drive by that gym and we're wondering, if they did kick us out to not let us use it, how come they're not working on it now? After all this time, they've told us they're not actually doing it. And so that's the talk among the youth right now. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
My name's Thomas Joseph, tribal member. I like this open forum. I didn't really know what the agenda topic was today. I found out yesterday, seen Shane at the gas station, that there was a meeting. So I thought, well, heck, I'll go show up, see the new council. Congratulations. Thanks for running and winning. I'm excited about our new council. So I guess we just go up here and hit a few points and give you guys some ideas of wanting to listen to what's going on, what we have our concerns are. Excellent idea. Listening to a few of the people speaking, I agree, but not so heartily. Our downtown reflects who we are. It's a direct reflection of our families. It's a direct reflection of our government, and that's why it's in sad shape. I don't believe in kicking those people out of downtown or putting them behind fences or locking them up. Those are our people. And we need to do what we need to do at all costs to help save our people. Of course, our river, we see it. It's horrible. It's sad. And we reflect that river as well. So maybe that's where we really need to start. So it is saving that river at all costs, whatever it takes. I've worked for the youth council within the last 2 years. Excellent group of kids. It's sad that they don't get the support that's needed right now. I feel really bad for them. They worked hard to raise a substantial amount of money to attend a national conference where the rest of the unity organizations rubbing elbows with Michelle Obama and taking selfies with Obama. And we went to that conference last year and we met all the rest of the youth councils in the United States and made those friends. And so when your youth council hops on the Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram, those are the pictures that they're seeing. All their friends over there in Washington, D.C. rubbing elbows with Obama and seeing all their selfies and all their old friends over there that they made last year. And they think, geez, I wish my tribe backed me up. Geez, I wish my tribe cared enough to send us over there. You know, your youth council meets once a week and they always have a quorum. Nothing against this council, you're new, but that wasn't the case all the times that they've been sitting in their elected offices, in their elected seats. They're unpaid. There's a zero budget to fund that youth council. There's a zero budget to fund your youth center. There's two employees, one full-time, one part-time. It's nice to say, yeah, we have a youth center, so we're doing something for the kids. But are we really? Is there really dedication that's headed their way? Funding, supplies, equipment. I don't work there currently, but I remember last summer we'd have anywhere from 40 to 80 people in there. We'd have to take them outside and play football in the hot heat because there just wasn't enough things for them to do inside the youth center. There wasn't enough support fiscally. We got all the promises in the world, especially when elections came around. And we were everybody's best friend. But they are soon forgotten. And so I would like to encourage this council to realize that youth council is going to be the ones that are going to be signing your checks when you're retired. And so treat them well. I guess that's about basically what I got to say, but I congratulate you. This is an awesome forum. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
My name is Larry Marshall. I just returned from a trip to Washington, D.C., and I'd like to convey to you the treatment that we received as veterans. And I'd also like to mention something about parking. We had such a wonderful trip, and people gave us their gratuity of our time that we served. And we got that letter from the President of the United States stating, "Greetings, you are hereby chosen by your friends and neighbors to do your duty for God and country, etc." But anyway, I didn't realize how grateful people can be. There's about 75 of us that flew out of Sacramento to Washington, D.C., and received a much gratuity for our time that we served. And it was something that I really was surprised. Excuse me. But anyway, we visited all the monuments. We had just a wonderful trip, and the people were trying to thank us for our service and putting our lives on the line. And it was really a thank you that we received a motorcycle police escort everywhere we went. We didn't have to stop at a stop sign or anything. It was just a wonderful trip. But what I wanted to say was, when I get back here, I've been crippled since 1993. I have two titanium hips and two titanium knees, and being able to park near where you want to shop or whatever, go to the post office, but the people park there without a card that states that we legally can park there, and they don't know that they can be fined for parking. You know, they can be fined up to $4,200. So they don't realize that, I guess. But anyway, I wanted to park over at the Kamau Medical Center, and the employees park right in the middle and block two places to park. So us people that can't walk very far are in jeopardy, and I was hoping that someone would do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken Norton, on behalf of Jack Norton III, who could not make it to the meeting, I received his text. He asked that the council consider, under economic strategies again, the carbon credit issues in regards not just having a presentation from a law firm, but having feasibility studies that are done both internally and externally, looking at what other tribal nations are doing. Firmly believe that the acquisition of adjacent lands that was offered through the Forest Service or other venues are very viable and could be considered by the council as long-term strategic economic development. Also, he mentions about bioremediation and has been involved in, I believe, with Blue Lake, where he is employed, looking at the pilot project that HSU and maybe the Forest Service is doing at Big Lagoon, looking at logging and bringing in bioremediation in that cost. That would be something that this tribe has recognized as bioremediation, bringing in the fuel loads from the our logging operations for future development. Just adding on, as a resource manager, been involved in the past year in looking at these two endeavors. The involvement goes maybe on for 2 or 3 months, then it falls away by the waysides. Again, we are looking at nation building, long-term strategic development that has buy-in from the community, our leadership, and resource department. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Haley Hett. I just forgot about one more issue that I wanted to bring to the council's attention. sorry. There isn't an education going on for our children for tribal government. So at least up to sixth grade, and I really don't think, just by asking some of the children, that is happening up to eighth grade. But I really think by the time you graduate from eighth grade, you should know what our tribal history is politically. We should know what our our relationship with the federal government is. We should know about the Settlement Act. They should know about that we were one of the first five tribes to enter into the self-governance agreements and what that means. We should know how our laws are developed and implemented. All these things should be something that they can easily and that they really should know. And that is one where time is slipping away every single year that a child graduates from eighth grade and doesn't know this. And they are, as you know, we know is our future. But I think that really should be, I think it should be an easy resolve. We just need to have that curriculum and have it implemented into the school system as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
I followed Haley last time, so I'm not quite finished with making a comment about the fire situation we have. I live just south of the Army Corps of Engineers ditch, which is now called Heck Creek. We're all familiar with the fire that just occurred there. And a year ago, I believe at the general meeting, I asked the former council and the Tribal Environmental Protection Agency to clear a road. It's a fire utility emergency road that goes along Heck Creek from Highway 96 to the river. It was blocked by a tribal member with digging a ditch and putting huge boulders there to block his family from going down that road. But it's also a firefighting utility road. There is an alternative route of which would have to break through a fence on his property. But nothing has happened. And had that fire, the wind had changed, it would have come up, which it has in the past, up the creek. And there were, like, I think six fires set there in that creek area and in front of Joy Hostler's residence. And so there needs to be some remediation in that creek area because of all the structures that are right there with a lot of trees. So recently I had got my name on the list as a tribal elder to have some of the brush removed, especially the scotch broom. But there needs to be consequences. I've been asking for 3 years for this individual to be dealt with. And not only that, but there's drug dealing in my community, of which I was directly involved with in a bear mace attack on my house. So there are no consequences for the people we know that are dealing drugs in this community and have other people working for them. It's like a small ring or a mafia controlling certain areas in this community. So we really need to take care of that with enforcement, with consequences. I don't know what, but something needs to be done. Thank you.
Thanks, Norma. Okay, it looks like we have about 25 minutes before noon. Again, the podium is open. I appreciate all the comments and suggestions and statements so far. Feel free to come up and offer any more.
Marceline Norton, and I also want to appreciate or extend my congratulations to the council and the appreciation for the open communication with membership and the intent to continue this. I would like to present a proposal to establish an ethics commission. The purpose of the ethics commission is to have oversight and accountability of our tribal government, of elected officials, board and committee appointees, and also appointed appointed officers. The development and implementation of an ethics commission will assist the council and the tribe to maintain a government of integrity, honesty, and veracity by requiring elected and appointed officials to adhere to the highest ethical standards and obligations expected of government officials, by holding the tribal officials accountable to the Constitution, ordinances, laws, and policies of the Hoopa Valley Tribe. There has been a group of us that have been working on this concept for about the past 9 months. We certainly welcome any individual who is interested in continuing to work with us on this. We have come up with a draft of what how the Ethics Commission would be made up, and also the qualifications. I'd like to read, if I have the time, to some of this. The Ethics Commission will write an ethics ordinance to be completed and operational 1 year from election of the ethics commissioners. I think I forgot to point out too that we are going to propose to the Tribal Council through a resolution a constitutional amendment that will require 6 affirmative votes of the council members to be then presented to the election board and put up to a vote of the to the tribal membership. It will include the intention of the Hoopa Valley Tribe that the provisions of the Hoopa Valley Tribe Code of Ethics be construed and applied in each instance to encourage elected officials to make decisions and actions free from undue influences, conflicts of interest, and other inappropriate and unethical behavior. The Ethics Commission will be elected and composed of 5 members with staggered terms. The term for each commissioner shall be for 6 years. There will be 2 alternate Ethics Commission members. The Ethics Commission chair shall administer oaths of truthfulness. Members of the commission shall receive payment for the performance of their duties in the amount of, it's a question mark. Commission shall be subject to the recall provisions of the Hoopa Tribal Constitution. The ethics ordinance will have a procedure and format to file an ethics complaint, frivolous ethics complaints, conduct hearings, take action against tribal officials, and also have an appellate procedure. There will be a tribal court review of decisions of the Ethics Commission, but that review is limited to abuse of discretion only. There is no other appealable grounds. Sovereign immunity cannot be raised as a defense against an Ethics Commission proceedings or tribal court appeal. Removal by the Ethics Commission of an elected or appointed official of the Hoopa Valley Tribe upon completing a hearing and making a determination of ethics violations, the Ethics Commission shall issue an order by 3 affirmative votes to remove any council member, board or committee member, or council appointee, or other elected official. The Ethics Commission will communicate the determination and facts of the case to other lawful authorities for further prosecution. So if there is possible criminal violation, then that would be probably handed over to the DA. Failure of a council member, board member, or tribal employee to cooperate with the Ethics Commission investigation constitutes neglect of duty. Attempts to conceal or destroy records needed to conclude an Ethics Commission investigation constitute gross misconduct. And we also have identified a draft for the qualifications of ethics commissioners. They should be must be at least 45 years of age by the date of the election. must physically reside within a 100-mile radius, must not have been convicted of a felony or misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, persons who have completed their sentence and made all court order restitution for such conviction at least 10 years prior to the date of the election in which they intend to run for office may file as candidates. Must not have been found liable for civil judgment issued by any court of competent jurisdiction while an officer or employee of the Hoopa Valley Tribe, including fraud, misappropriation, unauthorized use, theft or conversion of tribal funds, assets, or properties. Persons who have fully satisfied any such judgment at least 10 years prior to the date of the election in which they intend to run for office may file as candidates. Must be bondable. Each prospective candidate must disclose to the election board any personal, financial, business interests that may create a conflict if that person is elected. Once elected, each commission member shall report to the election board any situation that may create a conflict while in office. Must not be employed by the Hoopa Valley Tribe and its subsidiary entities or serve on any board or committee of the Hoopa Valley Tribe. So what we intend to do is present a resolution to the Tribal Council in the very near future. And then also we would like to hold or have this discussion with the tribal membership through upcoming district meetings of council members and also through other public meetings. Thank you.
Thanks, Marceline.
I just got a real quick thing to say that was brought to my attention about the vandalism in the community. Probably goes along with the arson, as well as what Auntie Marceline said.
State your name.
Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas Joseph. I spoke already. I'm just trying to finish up the rest of my 5 minutes. And what somebody said earlier, I forget who, but talking about the, Joe Lemieux, talking about the extended terms. I agree with that. I think you guys' term should be extended to be 4 years, but also easier to be pulled out. What's it called?
Recalled.
Recalled, yeah.
So I think, if, you know, we extend your terms, but make it easier for recall. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Tammy Carpenter. I had a question about a past councilman had placed on social media that we had money for travel per capita, so I was wondering about that. Was a question for me. About the carbon credits, I think anything that comes before a big deals that we have for the Hoopa Valley Tribe that we should bring it up to the membership and vote on it, and because we don't want to go like we did with the modular. Also about the boards and committees, I think people should, just like myself, pass a background check to any criminal back activities going on that, you know, because we're elected officials, people that are on the council, just like you want to be on the board, you should set an example to the membership and to your children that are here in the community. Also with the downtown people, not majority of them are Hoopa, a lot of them are non-tribal members, and a lot of them are not Indians, so I'm for, like, they need help, we should get them help, like, and get them off there, because it's kind of embarrassing, because I have a lot of people that come visit us from, like, out of town. I had my cousin come from New York, and he was kind of like, why are all these people standing around downtown? But I told him, I don't know, but just, you know, we got to do something about it, and he goes, well, the council should do something about that. So, but anyway, that's the question I had about travel per capita, and that congratulations again to all you guys. I didn't get to see Tyke that day, but I want to congratulate you again. So thank you guys for your time. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sammy. We can address the question after lunch, certainly.
Did you? Can I have 5 minutes?
Sure, Joe.
Joseph Lemieux again. I just want to tell you one other thing that I've been doing so that when you hear, you won't be surprised. I've been studying a book. I want to address the head of the youth organization, the tribal council. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every time we have problems. There are many, many studies across this nation, even around the world, that have addressed problems that we have. And they've addressed problems in a respectful way. When we want to address some of our most serious problems, there's ways to do it. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time that we have problems. We do have to have an open mind to adjust other proposals to fit our needs. I want to say to the head of the youth is that when that day comes that the youth take over, that they are, I'm 70 years old, I'm over 70, and I'm hoping that I can be of help to the tribal council or to even the youth organization, that what I've seen may be helpful, not always, but maybe. So I want to say that this book I'm studying, it's not just a read, it's a reread. It's called Rebuilding Native Nations. And it's not an indictment to the tribal councils. Please don't take it as that. You may hear me in the community. I want to address, meet with people and talk about it. It's a new focus on how we're going to establish strategic planning so that when the youth do take over or when that day comes, that they'll be developing other things, looking in other ways. We would have taken care of some of these most pressing issues of today. When they take over, there will be other pressing issues that they need a free hand, that they can address those issues. Because I've seen changes over my lifetime, and now I'm wondering, wow, I don't know if I want to be young anymore, or young at this point to say, what am I going to be faced with 30 years from now, or 40 or 50 years? They will be faced with some things that we don't even know about today. I never knew much about the internet as I was a youth and growing up, but it's big time. And it's the day, it's what's happening every day now. So those are some of the things that I'm working on myself, which is, it's a very good book. It's a studies that was done, started under the Harvard Project. Some of you have heard some of the studies that were done by Harvard. And it fits some of the things that it talks about, fits with us. But we do have to talk about strategic planning so that, as I mentioned earlier, it'll follow from one year to the next and that we all buy into it and move our reservation forward to the potential that we know it can be. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Joseph Russell Orozco.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Lemieux cued me in on that book too as well. There's several different books. I think what a part of that book talks about is identifying systems. There's other different ways to look at systems and the system that we use. Well, that's what we use and we keep building on it. We keep using it. I've said it before in other meetings that we need to use a different system. This one isn't completely working, and I think that it just needs tinkering, like adjusting. And I appreciate the comment that John Robbins made, is that identifying who is not in a room, very important to always look around, who is not here? Who do we not hear as part of the system? Part of the systems that we use is actually not of our making. We didn't have a community like this before. We didn't have a government like this before, but we have one now. who gave it to us. Our people are not the enemy. The council is not the enemy. We are in this together. Who is the enemy, or who is not? Who's given us the most resistance, and who is taking most of the control that's kind of directing us to follow a certain pattern, to create the needs that that just come up, and people have been saying, "Yeah, we need this, we need help here, we need help there," and the council's looking at budgets and say, "We can't take care of everything." Yes, absolutely. I do not believe it's solely the responsibility of the tribal government or solely the responsibility of the tribal departments to solve the problems. It's our responsibility as a community, as a people, to solve our own problems as together. And I heard that echoed a couple of times. People have talked about having jobs, and a point of what I'm looking, I understand over again, I'm 69, is that jobs are not always the answer. Having money is not always the answer, because the things that people have been talking about are elements and symptoms of poverty. And when you have poverty, the only reason why you have poverty is because there is a sense and an element of injustice. The opposite of poverty is not affluence. The opposite of poverty is justice. Write that down. And from that perspective, then you can understand, or hopefully we can understand it over time, that it's the injustice is creating a poverty. Because if you have injustice, you're going to have poverty. And the elements of poverty, the symptoms, is going to be the drugs. It's going to be the arson as well. Ken Norton made that statement. Indian country has the highest rate of poverty. Yeah, we have the highest rate of injustice in America. Who took all of our resources? Who's controlling it? American corporations. Not necessarily the American government. Of course, the American government does what the American corporations want. That's the crux of the injustice that we as Native people across this country are suffering and will continue to suffer until we start really, really understanding the strength of our sovereignty as a nation. Maybe we can discuss this further. I plan to keep on discussing it longer. Hopefully I team up with Joe Lemieux and the council, and let's really get some long-term discussions on this, because we're not going to solve it with this meeting. There's a lot of issues creeping along, and we have to take, you got 10 fingers to just kind of creep along. It's going to take a long time. It took us a little while to get here, maybe 160 years so far. But we had 10,000 years of existence prior, and we didn't have these problems. Now we have them. So let's thank you for this forum. It is a refreshing change. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Hi, I'm Wanda Benedict. I was sitting there listening to everybody and all the comments they were making about different things that affect the community. And I think that it's overwhelming almost just to hear all of it. I mean, for myself and for you probably. But I think you need to prioritize and figure out what's most important and start working on those things, maybe the five top things. And I think as a community, we need to work with our families and try to bring them in and work in as individual families do. If they got a drug problem or whatever their problem is, get them off the street. We can't expect it to happen with the council, because it doesn't happen in other communities with their councils. So we have to look at it ourselves, what we need to do as people, and be respectful towards each other. And some things I notice, like with the elders, we're not teaching our children the right way. We see them in meetings, we see them in eating lines or whatever, and they're always the last ones in line. They can hardly stand up. And there's so many things like that that we as a people know that's what we're supposed to be doing, and we don't do it. So I I just think that we just need to heal ourselves as a community and work at it.
Thank you.
We should have a few more minutes before noon. Again, after lunch, we'll continue with folks being. Yeah, come on up, Mike.
Good afternoon. Congratulations to the new council members. Look forward to working with you folks. I just wanted to say a couple things, and it's probably out of the format here. I know it was to raise an issue and then the debate about it, and you're going to get to solutions later this afternoon. But I did want to say a couple things as a tribal member, partly because my girl got kind of emotional up here. And I told her, hey, you know what? Sometimes when you feel strong about something, it can get that way. And so I did want to mention a couple of things that are positive, in a positive vein. And we'll certainly get into the discussion maybe later this afternoon. We are, as a fisheries department, as a representative of the tribal council, active on a whole bunch of things, on reservation issues. We probably have a couple of $1 million that were secured for some work. That's, you can see it visibly up there at Supply Creek. We have another project that's online in Mill Creek later. And I just want to mention a couple things with that, because we've had a couple of sort of bumps in the road there. One of them is we did have public hearings on it. It was noticed, and yet we're still dealing with some things with little things that come up daily on some of that projects. And so just want to say it in the end, though, it is good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good for fish habitat. It's going to be good for the recovery of all the species, including endangered species. And the other thing I wanted to mention is we are also active on a lot of fronts. We had a couple of meetings this week already with the Bureau of Reclamation. Pretty much at all levels of the federal government, somebody mentioned, you know, who's the opposition here? Frequently, the opposition is the federal government because they have a direct conflict of interest, especially in the area of water. And as we all know, our water can be utilized. And as far as I've said, as far as San Diego, there's a molecule, Trinity River water. And so that is an ongoing fight. Very appreciative of the councils that I've worked on. Some of them are gone. And just the support that we've always seen, because when the people mention river, we see it every day. We see the moss in the river right now. Just a couple of things to mention there. There probably are going to be preventative releases. There's a boat dance flow starting on the 18th, or it'll be ramping up around the 18th. There probably also going to be a preventative release of water. And one of the sources of water that is exactly there and available is this Humboldt County water that Congress promised in the 50s. And I'm not telling any lies there, that the only reason that water was ever secured, it was because of the leadership, because of the staffing, and because of the persistence in acquiring that water. Now, it's going to create another suite of problems. We've been working with the county and other folks that are stakeholders and have an interest in that water supply. But basically, that water is now available. We're going to probably be in litigation on that again. And then lastly, I said all levels of Congress, the government, we're dealing with the administration. A letter probably is going to be signed by the chairman here within the next couple of days on a number of things, administratively and congressionally. We know there's four or five bills out there, and most of them, with the new change in the majority there to the Republicans, most of those are going to be adverse to our interests. And so that fight is always underway, and just want to say that a number of people that work on the issues, Ryan has been directly involved in a lot of that, but the team of people that we have, the attorneys, the lobbyists, the staff, specifically our self-governance coordinator, Danny Jordan, one of the things we're really, really working on is at some point in time, the federal government's going to say, you know what, enough is enough. We need to do some kind of we need to talk to the tribe on a negotiated settlement of the Trinity River, the long-term the long-term solution to whatever that water supply is. And so those are things that we're trying to work on. I look forward to working with the new council, answering any questions later this afternoon. And also, I did want to mention this too. We had handouts here today, and I think there was 50 of them. If anybody wanted to see any of that information, I didn't know how the format was going to be here today. We can get a copy to anybody that didn't get one. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I would point out just one thing here. So the issues that are presented, if it's the downtown, or if it's fish and water, or if it's, you know, the things that Joe, the issues that he raises. Now, we're committed to having additional forums about specific issues, about, you know, if because obviously we get into this afternoon, I mean, we can go as late as we want to go or need to go, but we recognize that you can take a day, you can take several days, frankly, on any number of issues. And so after today, we gather a lot of the information, have the dialogue in the afternoon about the specific issues. Now, we'll be scheduling additional meetings to further discuss all of these issues and to focus in on them specifically, because I mean, 5 minutes from the fisheries director doesn't really do justice to the serious issues that we face and that the tribe is facing on the fish and water. So I'd just like to point that out. So don't think that, you know, after we leave here today, we're going to go to our respective corners and sit down and have a dialogue amongst ourselves. We're committed to continuing to have these issues raised in a public forum so that everybody can feel like they're a part of what's happening. Also, and help to guide the Tribal Council, guide, you know, my administration on what the priorities are. But also, you know, to be able to provide as much information as possible so that tribal members, you know, can clearly understand, you know, what is happening, what might not be happening, and where we are headed in the future. So I just wanted to point that out to everybody, that the issues that are important to everyone, you know, it's just not today, and it's not going to be in another 3 months. We'll have another discussion. We are committed to having you know, dialogue on all of these issues. So with that, it's a little afternoon. If there are any other statements you want to make before lunch, anybody can feel free. Sure, Thomas.
I just got a real quick one. I was just wondering, the information, I have to leave, so the information after this, after lunch, is it going to be provided to the membership in like a memorandum or somewhere where we can receive it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to compile all of the information into a summary for the council initially, and then after we review it and see what the best way of releasing it out to the membership, that'll happen probably within a couple of weeks. Whether it's a website or handouts, or we haven't really talked about specifically how we would do that. Maybe a mailer as part of like the newsletter process, something similar to that, but we haven't yet really finalized how that would be.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Joe. Okay. Okay, well, we'll close the morning session. Appreciate everybody's comments, statements. Feel free to have a bite to eat. Yeah, we'll be back at 1. So, again, thank you.
You've been listening to a live general meeting from the neighborhood facility, and we will continue after the lunch session, sometime after 1 o'clock, I expect. You're tuned to KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio.